I'm here with Steve Metzger. He's a serial entrepreneur, founder of the Sierra College Auto Fair, but also now the founder of Sleep Choice. How you doing, Steve?
I'm staying busy, Mark.
Staying busy. Yep. Okay, talk to us about this busy. Where? How do you divide your time? You've got a number of things going. How do you divide that time?
Well, it's just whatever kind of cut. I would say I don't schedule my days. They schedule me.
Oh, okay.
And so it's kind of, you know, whatever comes up every day, I can try to schedule it. But really, that's just kind of a tentative thing.
So day by day.
It really is.
Day by day. Okay, so let's talk about the different businesses that you have. Why don't you walk us through the overview of your business?
So Sleep Choice, we started about 18 months, July 1st, 2017, with a partner who was kind of a veteran, nine-year veteran at Sleep Train. And we went out, and when things kind of changed there with Mattress Firm being a national company, things changed, and there was kind of a vacuum in the market, if you will, for both a brand and that model. So we set out to kind of build the new, you know, new Sleep Train, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. You saw an opportunity and you grabbed a hold of it. What went into that decision besides the market opportunity?
Well, it really was that. Actually, when we made this decision, I was in Maui looking at another business opportunity, and my business partner called me up and said, you know, Tempur-Pedic left our floor 2.5 days ago, and I've watched an incredible amount of business walk out the door. Things are changing here.
He was working for the Mattress Firm?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so he said, you know, I think this is it. We had talked about this in the past, and this is the moment. And I said, okay, I don't think this thing's going to pan out here anymore. Anyway, so I literally upped my flight, got on the flight home, started working 18-hour days to pull that business together and open 2.5 months later.
Wow.
And the reason for that was we saw the impending market, you know, vacuum being filled very quickly by other players in the business, and we wanted to jump out ahead.
Well, tell us about the state of the mattress industry. I think a lot of us may have heard that Mattress Firm filed Chapter 11 at one point. I think they came out of it. What is the state of the industry today?
Disrupted, disarray. It's actually interesting because it's very frustrating for me as an entrepreneur to go into an industry that really in a big way was stuck in a kind of archaic state, and yet it had at that point already been disrupted by sort of the internet players, Bed in a Box, which really are marketing companies. They're not really mattress companies, and so it's interesting to see that from my perspective as a lifelong marketing guy, to see that somebody could come in and totally disrupt the business and change the model and convince people of a value proposition just through eccentric, you know, marketing.
Are you part of this disruption, or is what you're doing in the process of being disrupted?
Well,
'cause you're brick and mortar, right?
I would say we are brick and mortar, so I would say ask me that in a year. And, you know, we are a little bit disruptive because we actually exclusively have a technology that is being used worldwide, has been for some time, and it's a little bit bigger on the East Coast, but it was very sparsely present on the West Coast, and we're the only ones in Sacramento. We're being given a chance to grow and take this, and so it's called BedMatch, and over $6 million was spent at the Sleep to Live Institute developing this technology. And basically what it is, you put a little bit of qualitative and quantitative information into this machine about you and how you sleep. You lay down on a test bed for 3 minutes, and out the other end comes a reduction from 50 white rectangles staring at you in a room to about 4 or 5 beds that are actually have the right support for you. Because the challenge with choosing a bed is, you know, you've got comfort and support. The comfort is what puts you to sleep. The support is what keeps you asleep. If you wake up with a sore back the next day, it's because you had the wrong support. And we as human beings can't choose the right support in 15 minutes laying on a bed in a store. So we've shortcut that process, shortcut the pain of choosing a mattress, and at the same time help people get the right bed the first time. And so that's the disruptive message that we're trying to get out, is that we're not just another mattress store. We're literally the only game, you know, in town that can help you shortcut that process.
So I walk in to Sleep Choice, and I put in my 411, and then I lay on the bed. How soon before I'm like, hey, you've got it narrowed down to like 4 beds for me?
Well, 3 minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so 3 minutes on the bed. It prints out a list, and the great thing is that on the other end of that, we actually hired exclusively people who had been trained and worked at Sleep Train. And my partner had been sort of a training manager and had had an opportunity to get to know the right people that we wanted to hire to honestly represent. I mean, that's the other part of this, is that it's an unbiased opportunity. So instead of there being even a door to question whether we're, you know, selling us what's best for us, that's not even on the table. You know, this the science is what's telling you, you know, now you're down to four or five beds. And then these sleep trained folks who have this incredible background, you know, it's
the differentiation,
Mark,
yeah,
it really is. And so they're able to guide you through the process from there to kind of, you know, help you fine-tune.
All right, let's bounce from the bed over to the car lot here. So right down the street from us, I've been driving by this for a long time now on a regular basis at Sierra College over here in Rockland. You drive by on the weekends, and there's a ton of cars at this auction. That's yours as well?
It is.
Okay, so that's a pretty big difference between a guy that owns a bed company and an auto auction. I mean, talk to us about that business a little bit, too. We want to know, you know, what goes into the mind of a guy that's, I guess, a serial entrepreneur. Want to understand the business, but, like, how do you decide what kind of business you want to go into?
Well, I mean, they might have more binding ties than you might realize. They both serve the public. And the binding tie for me is they're both industries where people experience a lot of pain traditionally in the retail environment, or they perceive that they're going to experience a lot of pain. And so if we can disrupt that process and turn it on its head and bring to the people what they're looking for, then that's what the common bond is between the two. So, you know, I mentioned kind of taking away that apprehension that, you know, you're not sure how to go about choosing the bed. Well, on the car side of things, basically ask people what they want in that process. If they're selling a vehicle, and, you know, really what we've built is a venue that appeals to sellers, and when you build that, the buyers will come, and they come by the thousands every weekend. And so, you know, for sellers, it's kind of a value proposition that has stood the test of time for 22 years now, where, you know, really, what do people want to avoid when they're trying to sell a vehicle? You know, the hassle, the having strangers to their home, the safety concerns. And so, you know, all these things, we've alleviated it. We've completely flipped the process on the head, on its head, of selling a private party vehicle, and every portion of that was actually reversed, and turns out that's the way it needed to be.
When did you decide to become an entrepreneur?
Age 18, actually. Well, you know, I think that it was probably in the works before that, because I just now am still learning more from my mom about how my dad, or entrepreneurial my dad was when I was one or two, and he had an office supply company, and apparently I would ride in the back of a pickup truck with a shell laying on top of the office supplies on the way back up from LA to the Bay Area where we lived at the time. You know, imagine this. And so maybe the seed was planted.
Yeah.
And then, you know, worked at McDonald's when I was 15, and, you know, kind of said what they, you know, would tell you, clock out, but, you know, go clean the bathroom afterwards anyway. Decided I didn't really like that. Mm. And then, you know, whole childhood, you know, dad kind of went to work for a company later, or was kind of a serial operations manager later, kind of got out of entrepreneurship, and would come home literally every night. The conversation at the dinner table was dad complaining about, you know, he was typically number two in the company, and he'd be complaining about what number one was doing to the company and, you know, hamstringing him. And so I think that really sunk in. And by age 18, I actually was headed into law enforcement. That was a passion for me. And then I got in a car accident after about a third of the way through sheriff's training, and started my first business during that time, doing reflective address signs up in the Meadow Vista community, rural area. Got the endorsement of the fire department, and actually ended up selling door-to-door reflective address signs that helped the fire department find people in a rural area.
Well, okay, door-to-door sales, that's not for everybody. Some people would rather work at McDonald's than be faced with the idea of going door-to-door to people you don't know. I mean, what kind of guy takes on a door-to-door occupation?
One that hasn't gotten chased by the dog up the street yet, you know, until he gets that figured out. But I guess a guy who, you know, associates a lot of pain with working for someone else, as opposed to, you know, the idea of going out and building something from scratch that, you know, maybe there's a, you know, being in control of your own destiny.
Yeah. So you got a little bit of these feelings of entrepreneurship possibly through your dad. You tested it out on your own. Thinking about, like, nobody, you had the tough time at McDonald's a little bit, but, like, I'm thinking in an entrepreneurial journey, there's always tough times. There's always these, I call it the trough of sorry, where you're trying to get over the hump and it's hard and, you know, it's brutal getting through those obstacles. Did you have any hard times along the way?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, when I started the auto fair, it was 1997. 1998 was one of the more infamous El Nino winters. And so we actually ramped up and, I mean, you know, thanks to some press and various things and a lot of, you know, hard work, we started really strong with the auto fair. And then when the winter rolled around, although rainy weekends are actually our highest selling proportionate weekends. Yeah.
That's surprising.
It's counterintuitive, but it's a fact. Because
you're an outdoor auction and you think raining, oh, I'm not going to go outside looking for a car.
Yep. And the buyers show up no matter what, and then the sellers drop off. And so the vehicles that are there get a lot of attention, and people a lot of times end up choosing from what is there. Gotcha. So that's something a perception we've kind of fought the whole time. But the point is, with the El Nino winter, you know, here we are all of a sudden, you know, opening weekend at 60 vehicles, and now I'm sitting out there, you know, with staring at 14 vehicles in the middle of El Nino, you know, winter that year. And it was, you know, I mean, we had to take a look at it. I'd say the one that really stands out, though, is the recession. Yeah. And so, you know, 2008, everything was on track, going strong, the strongest we had been. Memorial Day to Labor Day, like clockwork, 25% gone. Labor Day to December, 40%, like clockwork. Wow. And as soon as we hit
September, that's when Lehman Brothers filed bankruptcy. I mean, it went south for a lot of people. And then it affected you.
We lost 55% of the business overall, and you know, just
did you think about quitting? Did you? I mean,
oh,
what goes
absolutely.
Through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, by 2010, I was out trying to get a job at Tesla.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. Wow.
And was there a turning point after that? Or a moment where it's like, hey, we found a way to hold it together.
Tesla didn't hire me.
Oh, yeah. It's like, well, I guess I better stay with the business.
And you know, it's realistically, I was probably bound to find out that, you know, I needed to. Entrepreneurship is my, you know, path and spirit. And, you know, we made it through, and then the economy started to come back. And, you know, I've always had kind of a second business or sort of mini career or something otherwise. So. Yeah.
So what are you most excited about now? What's on the immediate horizon? You've got Sleep Choice. You've got the Rockland Auto Auction. What are you most excited about today?
Well, definitely the opportunity in the mattress business. I mean, I think because that's disruption presents opportunity, and it is an industry in disruption, and so that really is an open door, and there's a lot evolving there. And for a guy like me that whose strength maybe is more in ideas than, you know, execution in terms of administrative tasks and so forth, you know. That's a great environment to live in.
Well, let's give some advice to the entrepreneurs who are thinking about chasing their dream. They can live with the ups and downs. Maybe they've even got a little door-to-door fearlessness like yourself. What would you say to the entrepreneurs out there that are thinking about chasing their dream?
Well, keep moving. Just don't stop. Take relentless action. I would say, you know, even if you're at the student age, you know, never stop and just do nothing and say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, so I'm going to bump out of, you know, college. I mean, right over here at Sierra College, there's a great opportunity where if you just keep plugging along and you dive in and take those classes, you know, do something to try to find out if that's the path that you want to go down. Even in entrepreneurship, there are ways that you can start trying to take action and not put a whole lot on the line necessarily. And so just keep taking action.
Yes. Relentless action. I love that term. Do something. We got to do that. Steve Metzger, I want to thank you for joining us on the show, sharing your story. I think we're all much better off for that, for this as well. And, you know, to all those guys out there that are thinking that they're brave, well, try door-to-door sales. I have attempted that once or twice in my life myself. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark.